Hi there. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Guerra. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. It's always fascinating to me the numbers that keep happening. More and more people are experiencing things that we would consider extraordinary, things that we might not have been able to talk about before, but now there are so many people experiencing it. It's hard to, you know, to go somewhere and not have in a room full of maybe 100 people, at least two or three who've said or who are admitting and talking about it, that they've had encounters with ghosts or spirits or someone, a loved one who's passed on. The fact that there have been shows about it and, television series based on that kind of information also gives us more exposure to the potential for that happening in our lives. Well, Lula Grand has personal experience. The website, extraordinarygriefexperiences.com, is the site he calls home. The book, Love Lives On. He's compiled a lot of stories, a lot of personal anecdotes from people who have information to share about what they've experienced in their lives. And Lou, thanks for spending time with me. I appreciate what you're doing in terms of getting this information out. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Wendy. It's all my pleasure.
How did you get started with this? You've got the books, but I just real quickly, what prompted you to start?
Well, you know, it's amazing. I've been trained in the scientific method, like most counselors or therapists. And about 35 years ago, a woman came to me with a highly unusual story. And I was just amazed because I'd never seen this woman before. She had no reason to try to pull the wool over my eyes, but She just had a fantastic experience with her 4-year-old grandson, and it just got me thinking. So I, after she left the office and we had discussed what had happened, I started getting in touch with various colleagues, and anytime somebody came to me for counseling, I would ask if you had anything unusual occur and so on. And I was absolutely amazed at the number of people who are convinced they've had a sign or a message from the person that died. And I can tell you, in the 30-some years that I've been doing this work, 99% of those things help the person deal with their loss and realize that their loved one, although gone physically, still knows what's happening here.
Well, that part I think is really helpful because it gives people a sense of validation that they're not alone. You know,
absolutely.
It doesn't end when you die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Some of the things that that you hear, you just can't not believe them. I mean, I can't believe that all of these people that I've interviewed or read about have made up these stories. I mean, I haven't been in their shoes, but when you look in their eyes, when you talk to them, give them your full attention, you realize they've had something unusual happen. And whatever it was, it certainly has gotten into their thinking. It has changed their belief system many times. And it inevitably helps them to reinvest in life.
See, that's the thing about some of this stuff is I think we're just expanding on a conscious awareness level. So in leaps and bounds here in the last maybe 10 or 20 years, the stuff I was able to access when the early 80s was so few and far between topics and titles that dealt with this. And now you go into the bookstore and there's a whole section.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Like, wow. And I think part of it is that not only when that person shifts their awareness and their way of dealing and their frame of reference for what happens and what is involved in being in living and in dying, then they touch others in their own circle. And as
sure.
that happens, it's a
sure.
ripple that becomes a wave. And you're
yes.
part of that. So can you share that very first experience that got your attention?
Oh, sure. This lady was 64 years old. She came in and she said, my 28-year-old daughter died, and we were able to talk before her death. And I had asked her if it was possible, would you give me some kind of a sign or message that you're okay? You've been a good girl. She called her a girl, 20 years old. She says, you've been a good girl. And so she let go at that. And about 4 or 5 months after the death of her daughter, she's over in her other daughter's home taking care of her 4-year-old grandson while the daughter was out and so on. And was giving him a bath, and all of a sudden she said, now you stay here. I'm going to go in and get your pajamas. And while she's in his room getting the pajamas, she hears a commotion in the bathroom, so she quickly walks back in. And here's this little 4-year-old, and he's climbing out of the tub, and his face is sort of white, you know. She said, what's the matter? And the little boy said, I saw a picture of Aunt Jan, and she was smiling. Now, this was the daughter that died. This little 4-year-old had been given a facial vision of his aunt. And the grandma comes to me, the grandmother comes to me, and I happened to be teaching a course at the time. In fact, I had started the first course on death and bereavement at this college. And she said to me, she told me the whole story, and then she asked me the big $64,000 question. She said, do you think this could have happened? Because like many people, you get enculturated with this scientific baloney that if you can't measure or see or somehow prove the unseen, it doesn't exist. It's a hallucination of some sort. And she needed someone to tell the story to, and I was considered to be an authority figure only because I had been teaching this course. And of course, I had been taking my hits. I was the deaf man on campus, you know.
And
so, this woman asked me the big question, and thank God I paused, and I said to her, you know, this is possible. And I didn't realize at the time, but I had given her the validation and the support that she needed. And the reason I know that is that 18 years later, some of my colleagues said, you know, you ought to go back to the original people that you have interviewed and some of the people you talked to about these unusual experiences and see if there are any long-term effects. So this was the first lady and I that I had ever spoken to about this. So I happened to be back in this little town where the college was, because this was long after I had left that college. And I had her name and number, and I said, well, I'm going to try and give her a call. If she's still alive, she'd have been 82. So I said, I'll ring it up. I rang it up, and by golly, wouldn't you know, she answered the phone. I said, do you remember me? You came to my office 18 years ago and told me a story about your grandson. Oh, yes. I said, I have one question I'd like to ask you. I said, did this have any long-term effects on you in any way? And the first thing out of her mouth was, well, it increased my faith. what else could I ask? You know, I mean, it helped her in her life. She was convinced, as most people are, that there's going to be a reunion, that I'm going to see my loved one again, and I can adapt to the lack of their presence, but I know that in spirit they're still around. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My own experiences, because I didn't really understand what it was like to be an intuitive or psychic, and I hated those labels, I just had the experiences and didn't call it that.
Oh, I see. Good but, for you, because I have to tell you, as you, I'm sure, experienced, and this is something for all of your listeners to understand, and that is, you're still going to run into people who think that you're a little off your rocker, you know? Mm-hmm. In fact, when I published the first book back in 97 on this topic, I had colleagues who, when I would meet them at the conferences, who were, I thought, you know, pretty good friends, they wouldn't give me the time of day because mm-hmm. they felt I was off the wall. I had gone, in a direction that was totally unscientific. And it's too bad because I still hear people who will come to me and talk to me about what's happened who will say, well, you know, I told my sister this and she thinks I'm nuts. You know, it's too bad. What you have to do is you have to be careful about and have a thick skin. It's going to happen. There are going to be people that won't believe you. They're going to think there's something wrong with you. But you hold on to your belief because you and you alone are the only one who has had that unique experience. You know in your heart whether it's good or whether it's bad.
Absolutely. And that's the thing for me. It's like there may be somebody holding a place for somebody else. And if you're the one who can connect, like to that lady that you spoke with, if you are the only one who has a chance to give her a little piece of wisdom, a little piece of information that will help her for the next, how many ever she, you said 84, yes. 30 years, then you're the one who has to hold tight and fast to your own truth, because it's there for that person, not necessarily for you or for anybody else who wants you to prove what it is. It's that
that's
person
right.
who needed it.
That's right. I was giving a talk up in Montreal. I was going to workshop in Montreal one year, and at that time, I always opened my talks and said, look, I'm not pushing any religious belief or anything like that. I said, I have never had one of these experiences myself, and so on. And I told the story that I just told you, and a lady came up to me later, and she said, you know, that woman that came to you? I said, yeah. She said, that was your extraordinary experience. You know. And I said, you know, you're uh-huh. right. But I have to add that I still have asked and prayed to my mother to give me a sign or a message. And I haven't received one from her, but 30 years after I started in this work, I did get what, without a doubt, was a very clear sign from a friend who died, who was very, very close to my wife. She was a lovely woman. I went to visit her a couple of times in her last few days and so on. And we both unknowingly of what the other had done. My wife had asked her in a note that she had written to her towards the end. And after she died, and I went by her home a couple of days later, we both had asked her, Melba, would you give us a sign if you can? And by golly, about two or three days later, didn't Melba come through? And I, so for 30 years, and you know, I tell the people that come to me, you know, they say sometimes when I'm doing a group, they'll say, well, how can I have one of these experiences happen? You know, and I'll say, you know, I said, I don't know why some people get them and they're so clear and others do not. But one of the things I tell them to do is I said, there's nothing wrong with if you believe in a divine being, pray for a sign from your loved one or that your loved one is okay, you know. And it's amazing how for some people, something happens pretty soon. For others, like me, it took 30 years, you know. And yet, I do believe that, and there's a lot of theories why some people do not recognize them, or
yes,
why
yeah.
you know
yeah.
why they don't think they have gotten one. But I honestly feel if you are consistent in your belief, and because believing is seeing, it's going to happen. Something will happen. And you will be convinced then.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and the thing for me, there was some of this stuff. I got contact from people who were deceased. I didn't want, because it's like, then I have to do something with it. This is so unfair.
Oh, and sure.
You know, wow. It's like either you ignore it and that's not good because then they get louder, or you've let something down, whether it's your own sense of progressing along with this, or that there was an ability to make a connect for somebody who desperately needed that information, and you dropped the ball. Or there's a, you know, or you're not ready for it, which I put it on hold until I was ready for it, because once you say yes, then there's this whole laundry list and domino chain reaction effect that everything else comes into play. Mm-hmm. It's just that thing of sometimes our expectations of how this will manifest are a little bit more grandiose than just the little, okay, here's a floating red balloon. That's your clue that, yes, the information got through. And you're like, well, that couldn't happen. That's just a little floating red balloon. In the middle of traffic on a busy freeway, there's a floating red balloon saying, yes, we got your message. You know, this is as good as it gets right now. You know, give us a break. You know, but those things, I think my validation was having information I wouldn't have had access to. Most recently, a relative. I needed to make a connect for him with some information and told him that there's some paperwork that needs to be done. And I won't give details, but I didn't know that this was in process. And I was being told my lights were flashing, the car doors locked, I hadn't locked them, the door ajar light wouldn't go off. And it's like, oh, darn it. Yes. And so I, you know, putting my nose in where I really would not like to, said, is there something going on? Blah, blah, blah. Yes. Okay. Well, then I gave the information that I was supposed to give, and basically not telling anybody what to do, but saying, pay attention and do these kinds of things. And your father suggests blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things aren't in any book anywhere to teach us and prepare us. And yes, we can see shows on TV, but when it happens in your own life, it's still a learning curve. Sure. 24/7, at least for me, that's my experience. Yeah. I'm always learning something new.
You know, and that's a great lesson for your listeners to understand is, and really now I have to, because I've put down science, I have to tell you that science has made it very clear how important it is for all of us to keep learning. Keep learning. Mm-hmm. Be open, especially when you are a griever, and you have you have such a devastating loss. To continually be open to new information. There is so much out there we do not know about mystery and the unknown. So much, and the more that you would be open to the new, it will enhance your life. You'll better understand your grief. In fact, one of the things I do with the groups I do is I tell them there are five gifts that everybody gets to help them deal with a major loss, and the first one, of course, is knowledge. Knowledge about what is grief, what are the different things. You know, there are so many things about grief that the culture has distorted, and you know, for example, this business of it's not, you know, you don't have to cry so much. Or what happens when you cry all day? Is there something wrong with me, you know? And for some people, because like everything else, grief is extremely individual. For some people, maybe they're going to cry all day. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? But the knowledge of the world is just immense. In fact, there was a great quote I always used to use. It was... knowledge is an island in a sea of inexhaustible mystery. And we are just surrounded with mystery, stuff we don't understand. You know, I mean, even the astrophysicists, you know, they say we know only like about 4% of the universe, what it's like. All the rest is dark matter, dark holes. You know, they don't know anything about it. You see, and there's still so much with the brain alone that they do not understand. You know, like we all use the word subconscious or the unconscious mind. You know, but nobody can tell us what are the limits of the unconscious or the subconscious, and there are just so many questions that. We probably, in our lifetimes and in many lifetimes, we are not going to be able to answer. But to be open to the new is so critical, so critical.
Well, part of it, too, is that there is so much in the way of science being done. with the fact that, you know, we are connected in ways that we have no idea to even articulate that we still have those connections. And I think these experiences are just validation and affirmation for people who weren't ready to go there until something extraordinary like the loss of a loved one happened in their lives, which shook them at the core, at their foundation. Something shifted.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You've said it so well. I am convinced that it is so clear that there is this thing called telepathic communication, mind-to-mind communication. There's just absolutely no doubt in my mind. And yet you'll have many, many scientists who will just poo-poo that kind of thing. And it's their loss. And you know, part of it I can understand, because if you break through that, for some people, if you break through their scientific paradigm, their whole world collapses. They have been brought up with that kind of stuff, that rigid, inflexible. It's got to be able to be measured to be true. I mean, it's too bad.
Well, but that's a comfort zone. That's a very, very comfortable space to be.
Oh, yes, for them,
absolutely.
Because
you can rule black and white, and
absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely.
So the gray is what drives them batty. And dealing with this, there's a lot of gray.
Oh, sure.
The gray hairs come along with it. Well, okay. So I want to come back. We're gonna take a break in for a couple of minutes. But I want to come back and ask you, in terms of the experiences that you dealt with people, because you list a lot of them. Are there, aside from the one who got you started, some extraordinary that are extremely amazing or
yes.
you know
mm-hmm.
very concrete that give people an idea of just how far this can go when you're dealing
sure.
with this, you know, having somebody who's encountered an experience with their loved one? My grandmother did it for me. I was, I've had lots of relatives, but this one was, I knew I had information that didn't exist. She came to me. I was close to my grandmother. And so when she died, it was difficult. And I was so sad. I was crying. I was just, you know,
sure.
two or three days. And
sure.
then, amazingly enough, in the shower, when you get all your good ideas in the bathroom, I was, in front of the mirror, and I'm hearing I'm hearing dancing, and I'm hearing, you know, the sound of music and joy. And I'm thinking, what the heck? And she said, George Strait. I'm like, what? And she wanted George Strait played at her funeral. I only want to dance with you.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't a big fan. And at the time I didn't think about it. I'm thinking, so I told Mom, she wants this, and this has to be this, and a few other things. And, the one thing that did immediately, at that time, my grief was gone. It erased it. I was
sure.
still sad, but that pit, that bowling ball had evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave the information. Then I found out that grandmother was a huge George Strait fan, even though when it was difficult for her to walk, she was kind of slow in going. She had one of my cousins take her to his concert. She had posters.
Wow. Wow.
I had no idea, because I'm thinking, well, okay, this will be interesting. And then the words to that song really fit my grandmother, the shy. So those kinds of, that was my one, you know, to the detail of
sure.
the, my grandmother making sure her wishes were honored and that I couldn't block her out.
Sure.
But the benefit was taking away that extraordinary, that grief, that thing that fills your body with all those emotions that just evaporated. And it was So that's why there's mine, but I know that you've had some, you know, incredible encounters.
Yeah, there's some,
from your
there's
people.
Some wonderful stories. And I'm sure that some of, if any of the people who are grieving now are, and are listening, they can, if they search far enough, they can find some amazing stories that will really help them to take a different look at their belief system and help them deal with their loss. I mean, just like your story alone, you know, look what it did for you.
We're going to share some more. Extraordinary Grief Experiences.com with Dr. Lou LeGrand. We're going to come back. I have to take a break here. But I want you to share the ones that you've talked to. I know they can go onto your website, but this is where people connect in the storytelling. You're listening to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett on Empower Radio.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Hey there, it's Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Our guest today, Dr. LeGrand. He has several books. Love Lives On is one of them. The newest one is The Healing Grief, Finding Peace, 101 Ways to Cope with the Death of Your Loved One. And you can find it on his website at extraordinarygriefexperiences.com. But I wanted him to share some of his, I guess, most extraordinary experiences, the encounters they told you, some that really stand out.
Oh, yes. The one that comes to mind right off was a lady from Australia who, as a child, she was 8-10 years of age, and she had a very close young man of the same age. They both went to the same elementary school and so on. They lived in this little town, and after school they would play together and so on. And they became very close, and of course, as young people would at that age, they would, like on Saturdays, go to the horse stables and be all over the place. And well, anyways, after one day's playing, she goes home, goes to bed, and in the middle of the night, she wakes up, and she looks in the doorway. And there is her little 8-10-year-old friend in the doorway smiling. And she said, as I looked at him, there was sort of like a space around his waist between his upper body and his lower body. But I could see a full figure of him. And she said, all of a sudden, he started motioning to me. So I get out of bed. And he runs into my kitchen in my house, I follow him, and then all of a sudden I see him, and he rises and rises and goes up, straight up, and then he disappears out through the top of the ceiling of the kitchen. And she said, I was just baffled. I couldn't understand this, and yet I knew something had happened. And she said, by that time, I had made enough commotion, and my mother and got up and had come into the kitchen and questioned me, what am I doing here, and so on. And she said, now you've just had a bad dream. She said, you come back and you can get in bed with me. So the next morning, everybody gets up, and she's all set and goes off to school. And she learns that her little friend had been run over by a train and had been cut in half the night before.
Wow.
And yet this little guy had come to her. She saw his upper body and his lower body. She saw that space between it. And she had no doubt that it was a true experience. Of course, the problem, and this is a difficult problem for a lot of children. A lot of children have visitations of various types from grandparents, other friends, mm-hmm. and so on. And their parents usually dismiss them as being irrelevant dream-type things, when in fact many of those things are very truly real visitations, in my judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular instance, this experience changed this woman's life just unbelievably. She, as she grew up, became much more involved in helping others who were in need. She, of course, was absolutely convinced that there is an afterlife. She knows that she's going to see her friend again. She just had so much good that came from that experience. Just one of those things that you kind of wish you had, you know.
Oh, I think it was so profound, the part that where he was showing himself separated, even though, because I think that made it even more real. He gave her a piece of information that no one else could have duplicated, that it
exactly.
had to be authentic.
Exactly.
Where, you know, it was just the norm of a spirit encounter where they look just like they were.
Sure.
This was a little piece of the puzzle that was really, really crucial for her to have at that moment to help
sure.
help her cement that she actually knew what was really going on behind the scenes.
Right.
In addition to the fact that he was saying, hey, I'm still here. See ya. Bye. Till next time.
and that was one of the highlights is that she emphasized he was so happy. He was smiling and waving to her. Come on, let's go play, and to come into the kitchen, And then all of a sudden, up he went.
Amazing. Yeah, that one is very standout and very unique. That's the thing about this. Everybody gets their own way of connecting and whatever, whatever information can come from that, then we go on. So, with that, she had that as a child. Are there
yes.
some adults who have these experiences and then it really shifts them?
Oh, yes. The same thing. I know, in fact, the first one that I told you about, but here's a an experience that a rather well-known author had. In fact, he is he's the one that created the movie character Rambo. He had an experience after his son died at a very early age. I think he was a teenager, was in the hospital, and he ended up dying of septic shock. And at the funeral, this man had the boy cremated, and they were in a mortuary, and his boy's ashes were in an urn on a lectern, and his friends were sitting in the front seat there, and the door to the mortuary was open, and as they're waiting for a minister to come in or whoever was going to do the service, and the door was open to the left of the urn, and all of a sudden, in flies a mourning dove. Mm-hmm. And the dove, and I'm sure your listeners, if you've had doves around your house, they know how skitterish they are. You don't get close to them. They just whip around. And well, anyway, this one came in, and he circled around in the mortuary and then came down and sat right next to the lectern where the boy's ashes were above on it. And this author said, I knew for some reason that I could get up and pick up that bird and take him outside. And he said, I did. I went up, mm-hmm. picked him up, took the bird to the door, and I opened my hands. And the bird just turned and looked at me mm-hmm. for about 15 seconds, and then all of a sudden turned back and whoosh, went out the door.
Yes.
He said, after the service was over, we came back to my house, and there was about 14 or so of my friends there. And he said, one of my friends came up to me and he said, you know that mourning dove? And he said, yeah. He says, well, you know, it's tougher being an agnostic every year. It's getting tougher, you know. I mean, this was an amazing thing, a mourning dove coming in and then staying in somebody's hands looking at him, you know.
Trying to deliver a message, and to me
yes.
that was so. That basically, he's saying, "As I am, then you are setting me free." You know, I mean, basically, that's just. There's
sure.
a whole lot of, you know, you can do a metaphor, you can do whatever you want to with it, but delivering a message, and he delivered it to the person who needed it, yeah. and not only that, those who got to witness that event. It's just a way of.
Oh yes, I'm sure it had a heavy, heavy influence on those people to think. You know, to see this guy pick up the bird and go to the door with it, and then the bird stayed in his hands. I mean, that's wow. You know, it's
okay.
It's
now,
amazing.
And let's backtrack just a little bit. You know, you and I are both saying it had a heavy influence, and then when people are saying, "I want a message from my loved one. I want them to show me. I want them to give me," there will be some who will say, "But that had nothing to do with the person. That it's just." Why are you buying into that? That's just
yeah.
a total coincidence, because that's what is convenient and comfortable for them to hear, that
sure.
it didn't have anything more than just a bird landing and being set free. But that's part of where we go in terms of asking for proof, asking for validation, is that
oh, sure.
sometimes these signs aren't going to be what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
They are just that. They're a quantum sign. They're an unanticipated and unexpected a way of seeing something through a metaphor, and yet knowing there is something behind that sign, something
Absolutely.
Behind that
yeah.
event, that activity, than just what the superficial view is. And
that's right. Yeah.
I mean, sure, you deal with that when you're dealing with people who are going through grief.
Yes, and you know, to think that was some sort of coincidence. Come on, will you give me a break? These birds are wild birds. They do not allow anybody to touch them, you know.
Yeah, they don't invite that kind of
contact. Oh, absolutely.
It's like,
not.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
right.
You know.
Uh-huh. Well, but that's part of it. It's that there are some the wonderful indigenous cultures who do value and make a space to hold animals sacred because of
oh, yes.
their potential yeah. for being a conduit, a messenger. Acknowledge that these things are signs. That they
right.
are.
And there are others, you know, there are a considerable number of people who believe that all living things are connected. You know,
mm-hmm.
we are connected in some way to everything that is around us. And again, you have to work on, and I tell this a lot to people who are grieving, you know, that we have to work on our belief systems sometimes. You know, we have been brought up with knowledge that has been passed on to us that isn't necessarily as true as we have been led to believe. And we end up with a lot of beliefs that really hurt us more than they help us. And there's nothing wrong with changing some of your belief system.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you ever experience, I mean, this is in terms of your mom, you have a bedside lamp. Does the lamp ever blink?
I don't have a bedside lamp. In fact, I try to keep all of that sort of stuff away from me because of any type of light bothers me during the night. You know, any
you stay up? Yeah.
Clocks. Yeah, I keep clocks way far away from me.
A lot of people, yeah, they don't want electronics near them because
yeah,
they believe that
and the electromagnetic field too.
Yep,
right.
That's
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then my thing is, do you ever experience blinking lights?
Oh, sure. Sure. The one time I had that happen, I had some lights out in my backyard and it happened at night on this one time. I didn't associate it with my mom, but I associated it with another friend of mine who had died the day before, you know, mm-hmm. And I thought, I still have to fight the ingrained scientific method that's in me. I mean, when I first started this, there were some stories people would tell me, and inside I could not fully accept them, you know. And mm-hmm. it took me a long time to change my belief system so that I could, you see. But in this particular instance, so with my friend, I kind of thought with that light blinking on and off, because it had not done that. In fact, I had thought that the wires underground leading to that light on the outside, I thought that they had frayed and weren't working because the light had not been on in a long period of time. But all of a sudden this night, it came on and then it went off, you know. So
okay, so that's my reality.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I work with lights. I had one in my backyard that came on and stayed on. I can't remember. It was a week, and it was a really beautiful, warm orange glow. This is a regular light. And what happened was I never turned it on. And if you looked at the power switch, it stayed in the off position, but it came on. Now, my normal nightlight stuff, that's another part of that. This has been happening since 1997 when my world kind of flipped into this different reality. But that was another way. It was like on the 10th anniversary of when I had discovered this connection of the nightlight, the backyard light. And I, the same thing, you know, at first I was like trying every which way from Sunday to figure out how this is malfunctioning. And yes. When I would move to different houses, okay, now I have to check the wiring just to make sure that it's really happening and there's not a faulty wiring system that's helping to enable it. It has to be doing it legitimately.
Sure. Sure.
But for me, that's reality. It's
oh,
how
yeah.
It's my every single, I have two nightlights that are one in my office and one in the bedroom, and they don't work 24/7 as a way of conserving energy. Ha ha. But they blink and they uh-huh. flicker. And if I go to bed, then they turn themselves off, which is kind of counter that defeats the purpose of having a nightlight. But it's just yes. a way of reminding me of the big picture that we yeah. are our own light. And
that's wonderful.
I that's why I'm thinking, okay, you have some ways your mom is connecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
yeah,
you
know,
have to be a little more creative in your
yes,
definition.
Yes, you know, I think what's happening probably with me is because I have heard so many of these great stories, I'm expecting something big, you know, I probably have to be much more. I'm glad you mentioned this because I think I have to be much more aware of some of the littler things that are happening that could very well be my mom, you know.
Absolutely. That's the thing, is that, and that's why I was trying to make a point with the balloon earlier. They aren't always going to be the things that we associate. But if we know more about our loved ones, like with my grandmother who gave me the George Strait song, I would never have known. I'm like, Mom, this is the song she wants. Oh,
yeah,
right. Well, yeah. And then to find out that my niece had taken her to a concert and she had posters, I knew so many things about my grandmother, but I did not know that. And so
sure.
I would have not, without help, put the two together. And so
right.
there's other things that
right.
we really learn in their dying about them as people, that it's amazing, this the opportunities we have to learn from losing somebody that
yes.
we love
yes.
close to us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so, that is so true. There is so much learning that takes place. I have to tell you one more that I have remembered is an auditory experience. This scene that you had mentioned, your grandmother, this young woman had a very close relationship with her grandfather and loved him very much. And after his death, which was very, very difficult for her, she would almost every day go out to the cemetery and talk with him and so on and so forth. And she said, one day I go out there and it's cold and bleak. And she said, all of a sudden I hear his voice say, "Go home, I'm not here." She said, I really got scared. And she says, I quickly turned and started walking toward the car, you know. And she said, all of a sudden, the wind started to die down, and I felt this very warm, loving, peaceful feeling come over me. And she said, all of a sudden, my grief was lifted, and I felt acceptance of my grandfather's death. And the big part of it was is that she thought that that the message that she got that day was this: I love you, I always have, but you have things you need to do here, and I have things I need to do where I am. And I will always be with you in spirit, but you need to go home and live your life.
Right on. Yeah, right on. Yeah, he was saying, I am with you. I'm not here. And that the clue there with the energy is that they can give us that. I've had that experience two or three times in giving information to other people. And then in my own, once when something collapsed, a wall collapsed that shouldn't have been, it was impossible. But basically my husband at the time said, these are wood screws. This is impossible. And he left. Left the room. But I'm like, I'm there and I'm sitting and thinking, oh my, this was like an indoor install it yourself closet. It should have been all taken care of. And in his mind, this was, it just did not work with our reality. And I felt so sad and so disappointed that whatever energy was around me would do something destructive like that. Oh, and so as I was feeling that, I had this tremendous wave of warmth and energy and this thing of apologizing. They were trying to get through to me and I wasn't paying attention. And so this was their way of saying, we are here. And then the love, that love was expressed. And I just saw pink. I saw like, you know, a pink cloud and felt basically in, you know, wrapped in this energy and apologizing, saying, no, that was not intended. That wasn't, you are loved. That isn't what that was about. Yeah. So I realize a lot of times we misinterpret these signs thinking that it's something to be afraid of when they're just trying to do the very best they can to take a brick and hit us with it.
Yeah. Well, you see, this is exactly what happened to this young woman. Is that at first she was scared skinny, and then all of a sudden, a complete turn. You know, she felt warmth. She felt the love. You know, it was all, you know, first a little bit of an attention getter, and then this is what I really mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I think you're in a good spot to be able to help people connect the dots. And, you know, this is not the thing that you wish on anybody to have to go through, the emotional upheaval of experiencing this. And everybody has to go through it in their own way. But having somebody to turn to and other people that you get an idea of that you're not alone going through this. Everybody has to at some point acknowledge that there is death here.
That's
and you're
right.
Signed up for it.
Yes, that's right. That's right. There's no way out.
No, that's the tunnel. There it is. It's coming. Not maybe with a train, but it's there. And
yes, right. You're so right.
Are you still collecting stories? Are you still?
Well, anytime you know somebody contacts me and asks me that, I'll say, you know, please send it because I am always interested in what your story is, and then I like to make a comparison of it to the other stories, and again try to see if I can tease out some similarities and learn more about the meaning and why it so often happens in a particular way. So I am always open to anybody who has a story that they would like to share. And I will, you know, I do frequently, in fact, most of the time, I will acknowledge, even when I get them anonymously, if I can find out where it came from, I will contact the person. Sometimes I like to follow up and ask questions, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what else happened, or I will, you know, I will ask them. And here's what I think is a great question to ask people. It gets them really thinking. I will say, what have you learned that others should know that would help them live a more productive life based on your experience?
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned? How has this affected your life? And what would you want to tell others, you know, if they would listen to you?
And the reason I do this show, Lou, is because I have a way of getting this information out without talking about it every single moment, that we are not alone, that we
yes.
are bigger and we have more connections to this plane than we have any awareness at this moment consciously. But that's how we are growing and evolving. And so doing the show gives me the ability to access people like you and help you share your learning and your awareness and your stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's the way we evolve, I think, is just sharing our own personal encounters and our experience, our way of dealing with whatever it is that engages us. And that's where we benefit, I believe, in this beautiful, beautiful universe of diversity.
It's an amazing place. There is just so much beauty and mystery and intrigue and, we just have to be open to it, you know. And as we talked about earlier in the show, how important it is to learn something new, you know. You're going through a terrible, difficult death, but what opportunities are presented now? What can you learn? And it can just make a major change in your life for the better.
Well, I think more people are studying it now, and on your website you talk about the Afterlife Awareness Foundation. Afterlife Foundation. And so
yes, we're having for anybody that's listening, we're having the second annual Afterlife Awareness Conference up in Virginia Beach on March 9th. 10th and 11th, you know, if anybody is interested in going there. And we have some marvelous people who are going to be there who have done a lot of research. There will be a number of psychics. And, you know, for people who want more information, that would be a great place to go in March.
Is this affiliated with anything with the Edgar Cayce Foundation? Or
No, but they are allowing us to use... in fact, they're going to let us conduct tours of their facility, and the lady who is running this particular conference has been in contact with one of the leaders there at the ARE, and they are helping us promote and to get people, and it'll be a very
excellent.
Educational thing, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Well, we're going to have to close. I do want to I thank you for all that you're doing, and I just pay attention because your mom isn't as far away as you think.
Okay, Wendy, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
So, and if you're listening and you'd like to connect, please do. ExtraordinaryGriefExperiences.com is his website, and you can, you know, find out more about his podcast, about the testimonials, the books, all of the things that you may have questions about. It's something that we don't always get a chance to prepare for, and at the same time, it's so wonderful to know that if we need to be prepared, there's a resource. hey.
I'll try.
What it is. So thank you.
Let me just close up with one comment, all right?
Yeah.
And that is, I'm still learning.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm still learning. After 35 years of this, I'm still learning.
I think that's one of the good things about being here. There's always something new to learn. That's the carrot that keeps me engaged
and
in everything.
And I've written 4 books on this topic. And the last... And the fifth book, the last book that I've just written, is more of ways to cope, including using your extraordinary experience. But There isn't a time that goes by when I'm usually dealing with a group of people who are grieving that they don't teach me something, you know. And if we can be open to that, oh, it will change your life immensely. Then you'll have something every day to show your gratitude for.
Yeah,
it's a great thing to have gratitude.
And an uplifting way to end, saying thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye now.